Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my wonderful patriotic radical extremists. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I'm your host, Linda. It is Wednesday, and it's Oceanside, California, just about 69 degrees, partly sunny, kind of weird, but a little cooler than normal. And hi, everyone in the chat room. I want to welcome Bill, Ron, Guest, and Lonnie, and Chad, of course. I can't see his name, but I know he's listening, and everyone that's listening. Love to have everybody here. That could be Rod, not sure. Never know. I don't know. Can you guys hear me? I'm called in, and I'm supposed to be live, so I don't know what's happening. Please do a sound check. So I don't know why Blog Talk's doing that, but it shows me that I have a live mic. Please check for me. Somebody type in if you can hear me. Maybe it was just Ron, I don't know, or the kids. Bill, somebody let me know if you guys can hear me. I wanted to give a shout out to, where are we? Here it is. To, of course, Bill and to Joe, and they had a little loss, and we want to say some prayers. And I'll play this one for you guys just in honor of these wonderful people in Indiana and the loss of Joe's mom. So here we go.
How great
I'm going to try this again. So go ahead and let me know if you can hear anything. And I'm going to type this in. Am speaking. Can you hear me? And see what happens. Okay, I've got one. I think that's Ron. Hello. How are you?
Hey, darling. Yeah, I can hear you on the phone just fine.
So it's just not coming through?
I can't get the stupid player to work at all.
Okay. Apparently no one else can either, which is weird. So what's going to happen is, if you guys want the first few minutes, go check the archives. I just played How Great Thou Art because Bill had lost his mother-in-law the other day. And so I think I got Bill here too. So, hey, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, we're doing fine. We're doing fine.
Hello, Linda.
Hey, if you guys need the first 5-6 minutes, please do a rerun, you know, in the archives when all this is done, because it was kind of cool opening.
Welcome to healthcare.gov 2.0.
Oh, God. Yeah, 2.0. I played How Great Thou Art for Joe's mom, you know, so. And so you guys can check that whole thing out. I opened saying, you know, welcome to Right from the Left Coast, all my patriotic radical extremists, because that's what I think we're going to have to be. Go ahead, Bill.
Ron, what Ron said, Ron, you know, more people have seen Bigfoot than signed up for health care.
You're damn right.
You know what they said? It was Greg Gutfeld was saying, you know how the plumbers use those plungers? He says Obama's numbers are plunging faster than a plumber on meth. It was hysterical today. That was oh yeah, that was my favorite, man. Hey, Greg Gutfeld's got it going on. That guy cracks me up. And I mean, even good old Beckel the Schmeckel was agreeing with them, sort of. You know how he is. But oh my gosh, yeah,
we're gonna have a new thing to talk about tomorrow.
Okay. Go ahead.
Project Veritas, James O'Keefe.
Yes, I saw that. I didn't get the whole story.
Well, he has proof that the navigators are offering to give their personal information to people who sign up for political purposes to political supporting groups. And you can bet who they'll be.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That's not surprising.
The whole thing is ridiculous. And the other thing that's ridiculous are these hearings, the hearings on health care, the hearings on Benghazi. I mean, it is absolutely – I got an email from my friend Lynn Welke. Her husband is Ken Happel, and he's been on my show, and he talked about stuff. You guys talked to him a couple years ago. Somebody's got feedback going on.
Somebody's got a TV or
yeah,
something on in the background.
Guys, turn everything down. So these guys are – and so Lynn sends me this deal, and she's got the form letter back from Daryl Issa, right? And then 2 minutes later, I'm cruising through my stuff, and I get the same damn form letter from Issa. So I emailed, like forwarded it to her. Welcome, Sandy. Hope you can hear. If not, call in. Guys, type in the number, whatever, because we're having sound problems. Sandy, type in if you can hear me. So I had a laugh because we're all getting the same form letters. This is just absolute nonsense. We are living in an Alice in Wonderland insane world. Every day is something new. And that one that you talked about with James O'Keefe, there's so much stuff that he's uncovering. The one that I couldn't find, when I get off the air, I'm going to try to get it to you guys, and I don't remember if I emailed it to you. It was called V2V, Victor to Victor, you know, and it was something to do with the Department of Transportation and good old John Holdren, that evil czar, and he's apparently been reassigned from czardom to, okay, go ahead and call in, because everyone else had to do the same thing. So, you guys...
Why do we need a new czar?
We had John Holdren was one of his czars, probably his eugenics czar, and now he's in some big wig in the Department of Transportation. It's called V2V.
Ezekiel Emanuel?
Oh, he's another one. Oh, he's just one of many. He's the brother of Rombo, Ballerina Ferry.
All cars are going to have black boxes in them that tell you how fast you're going, where you're at, and all those things.
Right, and it was even worse than that. It was the mileage and the tax on the mileage, how many passengers you have,
exactly.
Where you are, how far you're going.
Yeah,
I mean, we're
exactly.
talking A to Z, and I thought you, and all, of course, for safety, because then they said what their BS thing was, is to say, oh, well, we can, we can make sure that no one will ever have a crash again. Yeah, right.
Right.
These people are so, it's like, if you believe this, I've got a couple bridges in New York, real cheap. I can't even believe that there are a percentage of the people, even 37%, I wish it was 27%, I'd take 25%, that hate Obama right now, but 37% of the people in this country should be, they're sitting in a corner drooling, not being able to tie their own shoes. This is what's going on. But they're in good company because they're in good company because Harry Reid and Nancy are in there with their straitjackets alongside of them. I mean, it's unbelievable. Huh?
It's all of them.
Oh, no. I'm done.
All of them.
I'm done with these people.
All out. I was there today when I came in talking to Bill. It's getting outrageous. They got their fingers where they don't even need to be.
Oh, huge!
I mean, they're forgetting that we work. They work for us.
Well,
what if we tried to do that to our employers? Now, if I went to my boss and tried to pull that crap with my boss that they're doing with us,
yeah,
they work
and,
for
well,
us.
There was several stories that I sent to Lonnie and Bill and others today regarding. It was from our friend Lee who was on the air yesterday. And she's up in Orange County, and she fights against this stuff day and night. She's starting to, of course, to learn about Agenda 21 and other things, and the chemtrails, and a whole host of other nonsense. And she sent me tons of stuff on the immigration stuff. And welcome, Yo, and Sandy, everybody. So
following the same steps I did. I started with the working against illegal immigration. Then I saw the bigger picture, and I jumped to the big phrase against Agenda 21.
Well, I wanted to address what Chad was saying because I remember on Ron's show on Monday when we talked about this, and I was actually on the air, and I can't remember who all was there, but a lot of folks, I'm sure Bill was, in the chat room, and people just do not get this yet. And I know that Mike from the hot seat gets it. Other people get it. That for many, many, many decades, I don't even know how long, probably since Benjamin Franklin uttered the words, "A republic, madam, if you can keep it," that we were not vigilant. He should have told her, most emphatically, stay on us like white on rice every single day, and then maybe we could have had a chance. Because they don't feel that they work for us, Chad. They do not.
Oh, no.
They do not work for us. They are supposed to.
They think they rule us. They think they are superior.
Oh, I know. You
well,
betcha.
They're certain of it. They don't think. They're certain of it.
Yeah, well,
the thing that kills me, you have reasonably intelligent people, like Mark Levin, for instance,
right?
Who yesterday was just over the top celebrating the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. And I thought, it makes me sick. I wanted to call him and tell him. Excuse me, sir, but you are celebrating the destruction of our republic in 1861. What the hell is wrong with you?
I don't get it.
You know, Ron, I take a hard look at all the elected history and everything else. And the one guy that always stands out in my mind is the guy who stood on the floor of Congress and told them everyone to go to hell. Because I'd like to see somebody do that today. Because the games they play with us and stuff, somebody should be honest enough to take it right to their faces in front of the world and tell them to go to hell.
Well, the problem is you're probably not allowed into the rotunda. The only thing you can do is hold up signs and good luck with having the media, take a picture of your sign or have you on TV. That's the problem.
It takes an elected official to do it. Davy Crockett did it.
Yeah, I know. You know what? Look, I wanted to go through this briefly because all the stuff that I was learning, I wanted to share with you folks. Let me do this real quick. Did you guys, anyone read that? I can't remember his name, but I'll get it in a second. It was a black reporter, and he had a summation on why he was upset with both Michelle and Barry. And he called him Nero in the White House. Let me see if I can get some of that for us here.
Nero.
The liberal Nero. loves to apply labels to those individuals who embrace the Constitution, are conservative, and criticize Obama. Michelle and Congress, right-wingers, domestic terrorists, racists, and gun fanatics are just a few of the labels applied. Of course, the door swings both ways, and the other side is just as guilty. So let's just divide into Obama supporters and Obama opposers. Obama supporters have come to the conclusion that Obama opposers dislike Obama based on race, as they prove themselves superior by supporting the first black president in history. Well, actually, he's red with a gold sickle and hammer. However, not all Obama opposers are white, thereby making the distinction of dislike about race very moot, a moot point. So let's dispense with all the labels and look at some real reasons to oppose him. This guy published a summarization of Barack Hussein Obama and Michelle Obama's five-year reign in the White House. The author is none other than Michael Massey, a respected black writer and talk show host in Los Angeles, of all places. Massey's summary
he's probably
of...
just an Uncle Tom.
Of course, just like Ben Carson. His summary of Obama mirrors some of the reasons that some Americans oppose this president, and this is pretty accurate. The other evening on my Twitter, a person asked me why I didn't like the Obamas. Specifically, I was asked, I have to ask, why do you hate the Obamas? It seems personal, not policy-related. You even dissed or disrespected their Christmas family picture. The one with the Mao Zedong ornament on the tree the first year? Oh, I don't know. The truth is I do not like the Obamas, what they represent, their ideology, and I certainly do not like his policies and legislation. I have made no secret of my contempt for the Obamas. As I respond to the person who asked me the aforementioned question, I don't like them because they are committed to the fundamental change of my/our country into what can only be regarded as a communist state. And I think he's correct there. I do not hate them per definition, but I condemn them because they are the worst kind of racialists. They are elitist Leninists, that's a good one, with contempt for traditional America. They display disrespect for the sanctity of the office he holds, and for those who are willing to admit same, Michelle Obama's raw contempt for white America is transspicuous. I don't like them because they comport themselves as emperor and empress. I demand respect for the Oval over the office of president and a love of country and her citizenry from the leader entrusted with the governance of same. President and Mrs. Reagan displayed an unparalleled love for the country and her people. Well, you know, that was a good act, but at least they were somewhat decent. The Reagans made Americans feel good about themselves. That's a progressive thing I'm not happy about, but and about what we could accomplish. Obama's arrogance by appointing 32 leftist czars and constantly bypassing Congress is impeachable. Eric Holder is probably the most incompetent and arrogant DOJ head to ever hold the job. Could you envision President Reagan instructing his Justice Department to act like jackbooted thugs? Presidents and our politicians and all politicians are known and pretty much expected to manipulate the truth, if not outright lie. But even using that low standard, the Obamas have taken lies, dishonesty, deceit, mendacity, subterfuge, and obfuscation to new depths. They are verbally abusive to the citizenry, and they display an animus for civility. Oh, boy, that's an understatement. I do not like them because they both display bigotry overtly, and in the case of Harvard professor Louis Gates, when he accused the Cambridge police of acting stupidly and her code speak pursuant to not being able to be proud of America, I view that statement and that mindset as an insult to those who died to provide a country where a Kenyan, his illegal alien relatives, and his alleged progeny could come and not only live freely but rise to the highest, most powerful position in the world. Michelle Obama is free to hate and disparage whites because Americans of every description paid with their blood to ensure her right to do the same. I have a saying that the only reason a person hides things is because they have something to hide. No president in history has spent millions of dollars to keep his records and his past sealed. And what the two of them have shared has been proved to be lies. He lied about when and how they met. He lied about his mother's death and problems with insurance. Michelle lied to a crowd pursuant to nearly 500,000 bank stocks they inherited from his family. He has lied about his father's military service, about civil rights movement, ad nausea. He lied to the world about Supreme Court in a State of the Union address. He berated and publicly insulted a sitting congressman. He has surrounded himself with the most rabidly radical socialist academicians today. He opposed rulings that protected women and children that even Planned Parenthood did not seek to support. He is openly hostile to business and aggressively hostile to Israel. His wife treats being the First Lady as her personal American Express Black Card, arguably the most prestigious credit card in the world. I condemn them because as people are suffering, losing their homes, their jobs, their retirements, he and his family are arrogantly showing off their life of entitlement as he goes about creating and fomenting class warfare. I don't like them, and I neither apologize nor retreat from my public condemnation of them and of his policies. We should condemn them for the disrespect they show our people, for his willful and unconstitutional actions pursuant to obeying the constitutional parameters he is bound by, and his willful disregard for congressional authority. I got to blame Congress for that because they let him get away with it. Dislike for them has nothing to do with the color of their skin. It has everything to do with their behavior, attitudes, and policies, and the red flag with the gold sickle and hammer. That's my little deal. And I have open scorn for their constantly playing the race card. Yeah, like Doper and the rest of them. I could go on, but let me conclude with this. I condemn in the strongest possible terms the media for refusing to investigate them as they did President Bush and President Clinton, and for refusing to label them for what they truly are. There is no scenario known to man whereby a white president and his wife could ignore laws, flaunt their position, and lord over the people as these two are permitted out of fear for their color and outright fear for their lives, because that's what I think. As I wrote in a syndicated column titled Nero in the White House, never in my life, inside or outside of politics, have I witnessed such dishonesty in a political leader. He is the most mendacious political figure I have ever witnessed, even by the low standards of his presidential predecessors. His narcissistic and contumacious arrogance is unequaled. Using Obama as the bar, Nero would have to be elevated to sainthood. Many in America wanted to be proud when the first person of color was elected president, but instead they have been witness to a congenital liar, a woman who has been ashamed of America her entire life, failed policies, intimidation, and a commonality hitherto not witnessed in political leaders. He and his wife view their life at our expense as an entitlement, while America's people go homeless, hungry, and unemployed. There's a lot more to that article, but I don't want to keep going. You guys can have your say on that, please.
I don't know what much I could add to that. I mean, it was covering all angles and hitting all the truths about the whole thing about it.
Always define the political class, period.
Yeah.
They're the ruling class, whether it's Obama or, you know, Pelosi or any of them.
The race card has become a crutch under Obama.
And it don't matter what color you are.
It's not a crutch. It's actually, I think they use it as a weapon.
A weapon.
And look, people are afraid. People are afraid to be seen or labeled as a racist, you know. And it cracks me up. It's sad, but I see people all the time, you know, and in casual conversation, we'll get talking on the subject of race. Oh, well, my best friend's a black guy. You know, my cousin, she's dating a black guy. They always try to justify that they're not a racist. I'm in the same camp as, you know, Brown Beasley on that one. I don't give a shit if you think I'm a racist or not. I really don't care.
Right. Look, the whole thing, I mean, you guys have to go back to last Saturday's hot seat, because we were talking about this whole deal, and Johnny from Texas, you know, Hollywood dude, his friend was on the line with us, and he was saying that the race card has been played and that people are afraid to be called racist. And I posited to him, I said, look, I says, yes, the race card has been used and it's overused. It's like crying wolf because, you know, they are diluting that word so much. You know what I mean? They have changed the dynamics of it so much. It doesn't mean anything anymore. So it's like crying rape. And you know, it's ridiculous.
Is usually the racist.
Yeah, the whole thing is ridiculous.
The one yelling racist who is the racist.
Well, look, that's just one aspect of this. I think this has bled over into another area because I told Johnny and Mikey, I said, look, I said, that's definitely part of it. I says, but I think it's wearing real thin and it's not got much punch. I says, you take into account Benghazi. You take into account Extortion 17. You take into account Andrew Breitbart. You take into account the three black college kids that mysteriously, the gay ones of his ex-lovers, and Larry Sinclair, and all these other murders on Mr. O's hands. And I think it's not just the race card. I think these people are terrified of him, just like they were of Stalin, let me tell you. And you know what? Johnny goes, wow. And I said, yeah. I do. I think they're terrified of him because they're wusses.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to say, Rained Out, if you can't hear us or something, call in 646-378-0321. You can hang out and listen. Anybody want to talk about what I just said or what are y'all?
That's the whole game. It's not just the race issue that they use. It's anything they can use to keep the people divided.
Okay,
they
that's true.
Both sides, the establishment of both parties, is scared to death that somewhere, somehow, the American people are going to find some issue and stand together. Because when they do, there is no stopping them.
Okay, right. Now, to the point that Ron made about all of the politicians that this Mr. Massey was talking about, it's absolutely true. We can go back to the Bushes, to the Clintons, to to Al Gore, to Wilson, to Nixon, I don't care, Carter, all of them. It doesn't matter their color. What's going on with the Obamas is they are blatantly open about it. They weren't ever trying to hide anything, and the others were. Absolutely masked. I mean, masked. To those who were not...
By the time Obama got into power, everything had already been laid out, put into place, that he was just having to finalize that.
Right. It took a long time. Yeah, he was the straw to break the camel's back. That was what they were doing. They were putting him in as the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah, but you know, I'm sorry, he's just as racist as anybody that's in government. Look what he does. I mean, we'll just take a stupid example.
True.
Of the Obamacare. He didn't let anybody else. He made sure it was a black lady that did the programming, right? So he's just as racist as anybody else wants to look at, and that's just my opinion.
Well, that's nepotism, because you got to look at who she is.
True.
And who she's related to. You see, Valerie Jarrett has a couple of relatives into that. And Michelle Obama, one of her best friends, and I think that's who you're actually talking about, is a friend of Michelle Obama's.
Yeah,
but
it's still.
Yeah.
Did you get invited? Let me ask you this. I have to disagree with you for a change. Did you get invited to the White House?
About insider investing, and that's kind of what it is. It's people who are have advantages that the normal population doesn't have when it comes to businesses and investing and stuff, because they are controlling what businesses get the money to begin with or gets to come into a specific area. And we see it here on our local levels. We see it on the state levels. We see it on the federal level, and you're seeing it right there out of the health care out of the federal level. You can look around and you'll see many places, many of these people's relatives and stuff become millionaires off of one person being elected.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
like
I said, you didn't
see me get invited to the White House.
It's not because you're white. It's because you're not a Marxist or a Muslim. That's the reason.
That's what it was.
What's happening is, you know, when... Okay.
There wouldn't be Washington, D.C. without Bedford, Indiana. That's where all the limestone came from.
Oh, my gosh. So check this out.
Yep.
Okay. All all the people who preceded Obama, there is no, like the article said, how many people have spent $2 or $3 million easily with lawyers and everything else to hide their background, hide everything. I mean, to the point, absolutely so to the point of all of these radical connections that he had. And with just a little bit of questioning and a little bit of research, we found out that the Bushes were in the Skull and Bones, yada yada, they all went to this, people remembered their theses, whatever, you know, they actually had classmates that remembered them. Nobody else has done this. And as it goes, and here we are, even with all this hiding and all this burying of the facts, we know more about this guy's radical nonsense and his background from the time he was, 17 or 10 years old, than we know about the Bushes. And this is what makes it non-racist. The thing is, we see a naked Marxist and a pan-Leninist in your face. I saw this the minute I heard him open his mouth. I didn't even have the research done, and I knew. And every day I got more involved and more informed, and I'm like, oh, holy crap. And now I'm at, you know, Armageddon.
I heard every American man groan. I heard every American man groan the day they saw him throw a baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm just talking, okay, so he's a friggin' fag. So is Jerry Brown. So is Elena Kagan. So is Janet Napolitano. So is Hildebeest. What the hell? We got them all over the place. They're everywhere.
I was not thinking of it in that kind of context. I was thinking in it more of like he is a sissy.
Well, yeah, he's a fag. He's not bi. He's full on homo, honey. Trust me on that one.
We had a gay man in our area many years ago. He passed away. But let me tell you something. He might have been a gay guy, but he was one of the toughest guys around.
Well, you know, there's two kinds of gay guys. There's the femme and there's the butch. Hello. I grew up in Hollywood. I grew up in dressing rooms. I was on the road. I met more gay guys than you ever will. So, believe me. They don't bother me because they ain't after me. They're after y'all.
I was always happy that I was a fairly big, ugly guy.
Oh, they don't care if they're real, you know, if they're real randy. They don't care. Don't get near the bathhouse, Bill.
They won't have to touch me ever again. I try not to be prejudiced or anything like that, but I have one standing rule. Don't touch me.
Well, you know what bothers me the most? I've been watching this stuff for the last 20 years with this radical gay mafia push it down our throats from San Francisco and Sacramento all the way through, and then we get schmuck face in the White House, and he's sissifying the military, and he's purging the military, and you know what he's doing. And he's the caliph in chief. This guy, I mean, you name it from A to Z, this guy is evil personified. I mean, I know the Bushes are bad because they're in all these secret societies. I know Jeb Bush is, they're all. But this one does not, honest to God, try to hide it. Because he doesn't have to hide it from the people who are, you know, blithering idiots hanging out on the Obama phones, because they're too stupid to understand anything. Those people haven't read history if you shoved it down their throats. They wouldn't know the Constitution from, you know, Karl Marx. Or SpongeBob SquarePants. These people are that stupid. And he's counting on that. So he can say anything he wants. And he's got everybody behind him. He's got the media behind him, and I'll tell you something. This is where we go. Can you guys still hear me? I'm here in background.
Yes.
Okay, somebody's murmuring. I can hear that. Basically, yeah, this guy is, believe me, just not cool. And anybody want to comment on whatever else we're going into here? I
say this, you know. I worked in a psychological department for the Reception Diagnostic Center at the Indiana State Prison System. We tested everybody that came in, and the first thing you do is you give them a test. It was an MMPI, a Minnesota Multi-Personality Inventory. And when you took that test and you scaled it out and graphed it, then people hit high points and low points in certain areas, and that's who, you know, certain people had to go in and talk to the shrinks because they had problems. I would love, I think it should be a law that all of our electeds should have to take one of these tests, and the results should be posted so that we can see that we're not putting a nut job in there.
Well, look, I don't know how we're going to vet these people, but from what I'm seeing, if we don't get somebody that's outside that beltway or outside of this mainstream nonsense and this repubics and what we call the establishment politicians, it's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? It's just not going to be good. And
you saw a congressman arrested for cocaine. How many people can get arrested for cocaine and keep their job?
Yeah, not many. Well, we finally got rid of Filner, and they had a special election yesterday. We have now a runoff in February, so we have a possibility to get a Republican down there, but I don't hold out much hope because California and especially downtown San Diego is just so damn blue and liberal. It's disgusting. What I go through here is just daily with the California nonsense. We've got even my niece's town of Encinitas, which is a beautiful beach town, but it's very liberal, and they're pushing inside the California schools here in that area, in that particular city. They've got the, you know, how they have PE, their physical education time, you know, and their workouts. Now they're teaching them yoga. Well, I don't care if they teach them yoga, but not the ideology of it and the religion of it, because that's Buddhism, and it's also Shintoism, you know. And so if you're going to have a separation of church and state, which is a bunch of hogwash to begin with, then I think it should go to all religions if you're going to do that in a public arena. So that would be my argument. And I, like I said, just take your damn kids out of those schools and just not, stop complying. I had the conversation today with my mom about all these questions that are being asked at the doctor's offices. And we talked about this yesterday, that you have to stop complying. You must get up and walk out. If you don't like what they're doing, you just say, I'm going to find a doctor who's not going to play this game. You know, go pound it. And I'll tell you, I don't even know how, I think it's probably another 8 to 9 years or whatever, I can't remember, for the next census, whatever, maybe 6 because it's coming up on 14. Anyway, whenever the next census comes around, I never got a piece of paper. I never got a phone call because they would have had a hard time with me because I would never consent to answering those questions that they were positing. And if it comes around again, wherever I am, if I get one, I'm answering the one question only, how many people are in your household, and that's all I'm answering. And if they bother me, I'm going to keep hanging up on them until they get sick of being hanged up on. And that happened to my cousin. She hanged up 6 times. I told her, keep hanging up, Lori. Don't do it. Don't answer. And they finally left her alone. That's how you have to do it. Cannot comply. You cannot consent.
When we were on that first group together, before Richard's group, the other group we were all with, I wrote an article there that the end of the health care bill was how they were going to come after guns and stuff, too, because they're going to use that. If you have a gun in your home, that's going to cost you way more in your insurance, your health care.
Oh, you know
insurance.
What else? Here's the other part, Bill. Here's the part that scares the hell out of me, because if you, in fact, the other day, I'm going to stay away from these doctors as long as possible, because I was prescribed Buspirone and also Xanax, and now I've had those taken off my chart, and he has not asked me about my guns, but he is trying to push other drugs on me that I'm not, and he was trying to push the pneumonia shot and the flu shot, and I just said no, and the next time he tries it again, I'm just saying, explain to him, I don't trust Big Pharma, I don't trust the government, I know what inoculation means, and I'm not opting in for it. And
no, ask him. Is he willing to sign a paper taking full responsibility in case you get sick from this drug?
My problem is I'm just going to tell him why, because
I guarantee you, Linda, he will not.
No, of course. I know. The other thing is if they ever ask me about my guns, I'm just going to say, oh, excuse me, do you have a warrant? We have the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment, and if you don't stop persisting, then I'm going to get out of here and find a doctor who will deal with me as a patient and not a conduit to the damn White House and the DOJ. Hello, and see what they say.
Now,
I'm not playing this game.
Here we are talking about them doing the gun thing. They're going to be coming in your house, and they're going to want to know if you've got pudding and pie or cake or anything like that, icing, you know, sweets of any kind, donuts.
You know what this is? Bill, here's the deal. The reason they can do that is if you have a tax subsidy or you're on the Medicare, Medi-Cal, all that crap, you see, now the taxpayers are footing the bill for your health care. That's why they're allowed to do this. And they're gonna have the IRS and the HHS and the Child Protective Services all rolled into one, dude, and that's how they're going to do this. And you know what? They are violating so much crap right now, I can't even name it all. And you've got to stand on the Constitution. I think it was something to do when Mikey was talking about, because he's talked about this publicly, so I'm allowed to say it, when he went to court and the divorce things, and so he was bitching to the judge about not being able to take down, or he didn't want to take down his Facebook page with his kids' pictures, and he said he stood on the Constitution that he has a constitutional right to freedom of speech, and he actually won that whole argument, and it was fabulous. And he also, I think, won the argument on the protection order. So these are things you can do. You can still get them in the courtroom. You just have to have the, you know, cojones to do it, guys. You just got to do it.
Well, I'll tell you, from the guys here in Indiana, we sit and talk. Every one of us say, if it ever came down to it, we got to get somebody to defend us. We're not getting a lawyer. We're sending for Ron Golden. That's right.
I don't know if he – I know he's on the phone with his son, so hopefully he can catch this in the archives because, yeah, absolutely. He's a smart cookie. There's a lot of us who are smart, Bill. We're not stupid people, and you all know that. I mean, we respect each other. We admire each other. We love what each other's are doing because we're fighting. We're fighting the good fight, man. We get it.
We are the typical America mixture because we come from all different kinds of walks of life and this and that.
We're all different.
And the truth is we're made up of many colors and many races.
Yep.
But we're all, you know, we all understand there's a right and there's a wrong. And
exactly.
We all understand that the government is out of control when it has so much say in our lives, when they keep increasing taxes because they can't control their spending, when they keep putting in new things that they can fine you for because they can't control their spending.
Well, it's worse than that. It's more about when we talk about the V2V and what's going on with the healthcare debacle, and we look at the EPA and we look at this DOT and the DOJ and the SOBs. This is what we're talking about. These are evil people. Evil people. And they all should be abolished. All should be abolished. Every one of them. Starting with the 16th, the 17th, the IRS, the EPA, the Federal Reserve, abolished because they are unconstitutional. They don't hold water. They make me sick. I'm not complying. I've had it. You know, this is what's going on here. We can't comply with these people anymore. You have to stop doing it.
And they keep getting liberal judges placed in.
Oh, of course they do. And I heard another story today.
We keep getting reinterpretations of what the law means. You have to follow that rule, and this is where they don't get it. There is a rule, simple rule. My grandfather always was this. You have to say what you mean so you can mean what you say.
Right.
Means what it says.
Yes.
It doesn't mean, hey, try to figure out a way to change what I mean. It means what it says.
Well, yeah, the whole thing is when they start screwing around with it, And they reinterpret, and they use the Hegelian dialectic, and they lie and twist, and they rewrite history in real time. This is what ticks me off. This is what I talked about yesterday as putting the information into your children like they were little clay pots, you know, for the scrolls, the scripture scrolls. You have to educate your kids and let them know how important those documents are and how important those history books are, guys. I'm not talking about Kindle. I'm talking about the bound leather with the words written on a page, because this is what is going to save us, and it will resurrect us at some point. If we don't do this for these children and for posterity, it ain't going to happen, boys and girls.
Oh, yeah.
That's
just all
I'm telling you.
Every day, Linda, I get up, I look at all my grandkids' pictures, and I'm, like, fired up and ready to go. I'm not going to lay down and let you take away any chance for a future or having a success in the future. And
right.
I'm not going to let you turn my grandkids into slaves of the elite.
And robots. Yep, absolutely.
My niece was telling me one of her friends, where they go to school, I guess, they don't have books. All of their stuff is on the computer. They don't have
right,
books
exactly.
to look at in the classroom. It's just all in the computer.
I know, it's disgusting.
That way they're thinking the parents aren't seeing it. They're not taking the books
exactly.
home to the parents.
You betcha. And you know what? I mean, of course, now, you see, if they keep doing this, they don't have to put barrels together and light fires to the books. They can just rewrite it digitally, you know. I mean, look, we are so far screwed up and so far from the original founding and the original intent, you know, that we can't even recognize anything. I can't even recognize the Federalist Papers, for Christ's sake. But I would like to go with the Articles of Confederation, because that's what the Constitution was supposed to uphold and prop up, were the Articles of Confederation, not to erase them and bastardize them like they have done. Nobody talks about this stuff. Nobody, except Ron Golden and others, like you and me, Bill, and the rest out here, who get it, and people who have educated themselves. I actually had Johnny Hollywood on Saturday night cracking up, because I says, you know what, I'm sick. I'll say it again. I'm sick of these people, the libtards and the rest of them. I don't care if they're establishment. They will not open a book because they think the damn pages are laced with cyanide and they're going to curl up and die. I can't take it anymore. It's the truth. I can't take these willful, ignorant bastards. Excuse my French. I can't.
You remind me of Chad. First thing Chad said when he came in today was, how did I stand this? How did I not just blow up and start choking people? You know?
I'd like to stand face to face with a lot of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How ignorant are they? I mean, they're stupid.
I'll tell you something, Lonnie and Chad. Let me tell you something.
It's the people who support them and believe the crap they spout that are stupid.
Right. Okay, I gotta reiterate this, because for those who didn't hear it, this was a couple weeks ago, and I'm sitting at happy hour with my progressive friend, and we were talking about the health care. Are you guys still here? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Because sometimes this thing, I never know what it's doing. And so we were talking about the health care, and she said something about, every startup program that's ever happened on this scale has glitches, and I just rolled my eyes, and I just thought, oh, my God. And then she said something so astoundingly stupid, I couldn't even believe it. And she said, well, it's the same system, because I was talking about nationalizing and socializing all this crap. And I said, this is never good. And she says, well, it's the same system that Britain and Canada have, and they're not socialist nations. For the first time in decades,
God.
I was speechless, and I thought, okay, I can't even – how do you feel that? How in the hell do you even start with this? This is what you're up against, and the only reason – I know, this is where you go, and in California, it's, like, unbelievable. I mean, I've got several groups. There's Stop Taxing Us, Vista Tea Party, Tri-City. There's a ton of that get it, but, oh, my God.
Why do so many Canadians and British come here for health care?
Well, Bill, they come from all over the world. They come from Saudi. They come from Japan. They come from Canada.
If their health care systems were so great, wouldn't they be staying there?
No, you look. Yes, absolutely. No, this has been a lie since the get-go. this has been a lie since before Hildebeest, when she did her deal in 1990, whatever the hell it was, 4 or 3. I can't remember. She went on the bus tour, and they literally laughed her out of town, thank God. Of course, now we have too many drones and clones and cyborgs, you know, voting for Schmuckface. Well, they are. They're the Borg collective. They've been indoctrinated and they've got food stamps up the wazoo. They've got WIC. They've got welfare. They've got hospitalization. They've got free in-state tuition. They've got everything they damn well please in every blue state, which I unfortunately still am in. However, we got to stave off this financial meltdown, ladies and gentlemen, and until the next 5 years, so maybe I can get my little funds over Indiana, because I'm going. I've got all my ducks in a row. I'm going. Bill, you better get that compound ready, because I'm coming in about 4 years. I'll tell you.
It is craziness, because it just keeps piling up, and it's like no one pays. They think that no one can pay attention or something. But the next time you look at that U.S. U.S. debt file, get your calculator out. Start adding up unfunded liabilities.
I know. They're in the hundreds of trillions. Look, there's no way this is going to be paid back. It's going to collapse like the Weimar Republic, like Zimbabwe, like Argentina, like the – it was 1946, I believe, or 48 in Hungary, and they had the Pindar or something. I can't remember the name of it. Check out Ann Barnhart's website. I'm telling you, they had like it was like quadrillions. This was quadrillion inflation, guys. It was absolutely, you have no, look, that's what's going to happen to us. Nobody gets this. People, I mean, you guys do, but I'll tell you. Oh, when this stuff hits their wallets, it's going to be worse than that Philippine tsunami.
That's the way that most people are going to get woke up, is when it hits their wallet. Yeah.
Oh, and it's going to, believe me, it's going to be worse than you know, because we lost Ron on the phone. I don't know if I know he had a lot of family stuff, but he'll catch it in archives, and glad he got to at least hang out for the time he did. This is going to be so monumental. It's going to make the 1930 Depression look like a little tiny bump in the road, to quote the, you know, President Pantload of current ilk. Like I said, people like Alan West, although Alan West has been not the correct person because he voted twice for the NDAA and the Patriot Act. So, you know, and Ben, the only reason Ben Carson makes sense has nothing to do with his understanding of the Bill of Rights, because he is not a constitutionalist on the Second Amendment. So we have a problem with him. I'm telling you, you've got to be real, real careful, guys. I think Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, maybe Rand Paul, or an outsider are the only ones, but Jeb Bush, a Krispy Kreme Christie, or a Hildebeest Benghazi, you know, B-I-T-C-H. Clinton is not going to be my choice.
I can tell you here in my area who the favorite is.
Is that Cruz?
Ted Cruz.
Well,
I'll tell you what, if my governor threw his hat in there, I'd have to come out and support him.
Is that Mike Pence?
If Mike Pence throwed his hat in the ring, I'd have to come out and support him.
Well, you gotta do as much research on the guy. I've heard about him. I've heard he's very good, but you know, we've got to be real careful, man.
Like anybody else, everybody has faults.
Oh yeah.
But,
they should get a trial.
I mean, we're part of the Tea Party, Linda.
I know.
Who was the first elected official to join into the Tea Party?
The first person was Ron Paul. Well, Ron Paul was the start of the original Tea Party.
Well, when I started in the Glenn Beck group.
Yes, 912 Project. I did too.
Mike Pence was the first elected official in it.
Cool. Absolutely great. I know, because I've heard him talk.
When we went to D.C. the first time he was there, he spoke.
And I just want to say goodnight to Lonnie. Thank you so much. He's dropping off. I don't know if anyone can hear in the actual chat room or the BTR studios, because We had so many problems, and I don't know what's going on with this. I'm so ticked off because we still have plenty of money in there. So until the 22nd, which I will be very careful to monitor. So, you know, thanks so much, Lonnie. I hope you're still able to hear. I don't know if Sandy, if you can hear, and Yola, whoever that is, Nick or Yo, type in and tell me if you can hear. The other people, I know Sandy's on the line, which is great. If you want to talk, you're welcome, my dear. We got 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
I hope she can still hear. If that's Sandy, 937 area code. I unmuted her, so glad to have you there. And she's going to type something in the type.
It has been truly great to have Sandy and Lee come and join us and speak out and stuff.
Yep.
I like hearing other people speak out and stuff, fresh voices and everything. Brian runs a – he had a radio show.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So we've heard Brian before, but these two ladies have been new, and they've been speaking out, and I really like it. And they bring different points, different views that we don't hear, and that's always great.
It's absolutely amazing. Because
it's so great that people can be so far spread out across this country from all different valleys and walks of life and everything else, but they can come together when they see the threat.
Yes.
And people... adults out there, the greatest threat is not to us. It's to our children and grandchildren.
Excuse me. Oh, my gosh. Well, you're right. It's posterity. You know, look, everybody who gets it, and we were talking a little earlier, and I didn't get to reiterate that, Bill, that we are the Patrick Henrys and the Paul Reveres and the Thomas Jeffersons of our day. We are the people with the printing press. We are the pamphleteers on the air and in our blogs and in our Facebook and everywhere else we go, whether it's a newspaper or a city council meeting. I mean, we do it by email. We do it. Thank God we have this internet, because you wouldn't be hearing my voice if we weren't allowed to do this. And that's why the establishment hates this thing. They've been shot down several times and probably will continue to be shot down by the Supreme Court on this issue. We still have the First Amendment. Thank God. We got to keep fighting. We got to fight for the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, big time. And they're going to try to take the Third Amendment. You watch. And the Fifth. And the Ninth. And the Tenth. We have to fight and fight every single day.
Let's be real. The agenda is to just totally destroy the entire Constitution.
Well, of course it is. Oh, my God. They want the UN New World Order tomorrow. They want the United Nations New World Order tomorrow. And got 90 seconds, guys. I love you. This is amazing. I want to thank you guys so much.
I wanted to get in there real quick when you just said that. I heard Bob Echol and him talking today, and they were talking about Obama after the presidency becoming the head of the UN.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God. Oh, God. Somebody has got to make sure that that does not – somebody has got to put that guy and the only dream that I have right now involves a grassy knoll. Involves a grassy knoll. Sorry. I you know what? Come get me. I don't care.
I would like to see him placed into incarceration.
It's not going to happen, Bill. It's not going to –
and serve out the rest of his life. Living socialism in its purest form.
I know, but Bill, it's not going to happen. So I want to see the alternative so that he will have the eternal justice that he deserves. And he will. Believe that. And Chad, did you have something to say? Anybody else? Love you guys. I got 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes.
All I have to say is wake up, America.
I know, you guys. Anything that you guys missed?
We wish everybody out there blessings and love. Yes.
Yeah, blessings, love. See you guys on Terry's show. They're going to cut me off. I love you all. And I'll see you on Patriot Families Network. Good night, loves.
Good night.